You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to today's show. We just kind of want to give you a little bit of insight before the show starts as to why the tone sounds way off on this episode.
Yes, this episode was recorded last week before really the protests about the murder of George Floyd really started. So it's essentially you're going to be listening to this episode and you're going to be like, wow, they really are really glossing over something really important going on.
Yeah, they seem to be callously unnerved by what is happening. And also respect to Victor Oyoa, who in between breaks, we talked a little bit about what was happening, but that certainly wasn't the tone of the interview, and we didn't want to just release this without any making any mention at all, because it just sounds like we're all being wildly disrespectful, and clearly not the case.
Exactly. So that is the main thing. Today we're joined by Victor Oyoa of Inter Miami, who is a great dude, and we wanted to make sure we put out the episode and that people got to know him and just learn more about him, because he's honestly awesome dude. Just had a kid not too long ago, and we really got to learn a lot about not only what's going on in Miami, but his time in Cincinnati and in Dallas. And he came up to the FC Dallas homegrown system, so I'm glad that we got to have him on. But yes, we needed to address the fact that you're going to be listening to this and we're not really going to be talking about what's going on. But you can look forward to this Friday for the podcast if you want to hear us really talk about the protests, the George Floyd situation, everything kind of around it, how it's affecting soccer. We're going to have a big episode about that. That's going to be on Fubo TV on Thursday at 8 p.m. And then the podcast will be available Friday morning. So we will get into it. We will talk about a lot of things, of heavy subjects.
Yeah. And you know how important these subjects are to us. So we didn't want you guys clicking on this episode and thinking, oh, good, these guys are going to address it. And we absolutely will. And we have. And we can't wait to sort of voice our opinion on what's going on. But unfortunately, that's not going to be on this episode. But like Christian said, you can either watch it on Thursday night at Fubo TV, Fubo Sports Network, or you could listen to it. I'm sorry, Thursday night, or you could listen to it Friday morning when we release the podcast in audio form. So we just want you to know that we love you all.
Tonight on The Cooligans, we are joined by Victor Oyoa of Inter Miami. We talk about him leaving Cincinnati, going to Miami, coming from Dallas, that history, and we compare Latino food across all three cities.
That's right. You'll be shocked. Cuba wins, baby. We also talk about MLS's leaked format. We talk about how the leak got leaked, and then we talk about the threats to the leak got leaked. And we also talk about a bunch of other stuff, including, yo, what is Sergiño Dest wearing, my guy? That and more today on The Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
The Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay. Look at this. The amount of color on this show. Okay.
It's not just a lot for a double XL shirt, baby. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay, yeah. They had to use the Photoshop gallon of pink tool on that one.
You know, like what was it? Where they're like a CSI, they're like enhance. But this time they were like expand, hold the shift button.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians. I host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
Yeah, and heard and watched. And it's not just that. It also happens to be regaliest.
El Gulliest. Let's go.
Okay. Brett
En español. I don't know how to say that in español.
Okay, just put accent marks over that, all the A's, okay?
There's an N somewhere in there. And also an upside down exclamation point at the beginning.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, this is, again, look, we're Living Room FC, trying to crush it at home. We're rocking. Look at all the color. Look at all the kits. Alexis, you have the Ford Madison kit on. You're really bringing the heat.
Buddy, I mean, the drip. Look at the fucking drip. Just gonna say, one of my favorite internet videos of all time. They killed it with this kit. I saw it was one of the guys that works for Ford Madison tweeted that as soon as they saw the design, everyone in the room's like, that's it. How can you not? Like, when you see this, you're like, yeah, yeah, I'll take it.
That's right. And Portland Thorns also had an incredible drop.
Beautiful. This has been Hot Kid Summer, by the way.
That's right. Megan Thee Stallion is a little jealous.
Yeah. Don V. Commissioner is looking at these kids going like, yo, we need to step our game up.
Okay. We're all out here just be like, I'm a savage. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Ruthless. Speaking of clothing, real quick, you saw Serginho Dest posted, right? There's rumors he might go to Barcelona. Homie starts cutting his hair on his Instagram and he's wearing a full Barca tracksuit.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, dress for the job you want kind of deals.
I know when people were like, oh, but he was born in Holland. He ain't really American. Nah, that boy American. Yo, when you stand in a sub that's barely a sub, dog, welcome to America. You homeboy.
That's the equivalent of just sliding into Barcelona's DMs, bro. I get it.
Yeah, dog. That's like sending a messenger pigeon, but it's an eagle. That's what you just did, my friend.
When you play for one team, and then you wear a completely other team's full kit. That is the dick pic of, you know, soccer transfers.
100%. But that's a dick pic with your face in it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no question. It's you. You know.
Okay. No shame in here.
No, I didn't Google this joint. I took it fresh. Just okay. For you.
I'm proud of it, and the lighting is perfect, so I had to send it.
So what I'm saying is I heard your offer and I accept. Here's that picture to prove it.
That'd be pretty wild to have a men's national team player playing for Barcelona. That'd be pretty wild.
That'd be insane, dude.
I mean, and how great. Look, he'll play left back, and who's the right back at Barcelona right now? The Dominican sensation, Junior Firpo. So Dest is essentially going to be Dominican. That's all I'm saying.
At the end of the day, right? Like, it's a long string, but when you tie them together, that makes sense.
That's so how
Gino
it works.
Dest is going to start smoking hookahs on rooftops. So
okay. The only way they should be smoked. So look, man, there's obviously, yeah, a lot of news. We should talk about the news within MLS, because there's drama, right? And this is the kind of drama that we expect from the NFL or the White House, right?
Real Housewives.
or Real Housewives, correct.
Now, we're recording this a week early, so maybe something's changed by the time you're hearing this.
Exactly, right? So if you are a subscriber to The Athletic, or just kind of on top of you know, soccer news,
or if you saw some spilt tea on the internet.
Yes, the proposal that was out in the news about a possible MLS tournament in Orlando, bringing all the teams, bringing the staff, and having some sort of tournament. This has been spoken about in for a lot of the other sports as well. And Florida's like, yo, come here. We Corona, what? Never heard of it,
dog. The only virus we have is mojito virus, baby. Come to Miami.
So they are DeSantis is just he's just like the guy who is trying to throw a house party when his parents are away. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, dude, invite whoever. We good.
We good. They're out. They're at the Keys. They ain't coming back.
Nah, just don't touch nothing or your face. In fact, I can't feel my face. It's a party down here.
So look, this news came out, and apparently there is still questions and at least a negotiation between the players' union and the league of if they're going to do this, possibly also taking a pay cut, and they're still sorting all of this out. But in The Athletic, this
all this news came out about what the proposal was and a lot of the details. So how did Commissioner Don Garber respond? He put out a memo to everyone in MLS, every player, staff, everybody.
Everybody got it. Janitors got this joint.
Warning them, saying like, hey, the leaks about the news about the potential tournament is affecting the negotiations and you should not leak any information. Do not share anything to the press. And he specifically pointed out The Athletic because they had done the reporting. And the memo.
Well, how do you know, Christian, that there was a memo? How do you know?
The reason I know is because the memo then, of course, was leaked to The Athletic again.
The memo threatening people to not leak got leaked.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's so look, this is
that's like if you get in a car accident and then your ambulance gets in a car accident. What is happening?
So look, there's positives and negatives here, right? Because the positive is that there's people are talking about Major League Soccer. The American soccer media they're not letting anything skate by. You know, if it's newsworthy, it will be in the news. So I can understand. I can't, you know, I don't imagine Don Garber being upset with the journalists themselves. They're doing their job.
That's their job.
But I can understand the frustration with your employees kind of sharing information that's affecting, you know, bringing soccer back sooner.
I mean, no, this is the purpose of a reporter. If you're there was a time when this league wasn't covered at all. They could have sent the memo saying, hey, we're going to play completely shirtless and no goalkeepers. And also three people are going to get murdered at every game. And it wouldn't have been on the news. It would have not been covered. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Like, this is a good thing. I could understand you saying like, yo, we got to get these leagues under control because the memo I sent out about the leagues got leaked. Like, I could understand the anger and the frustration that happens, but this is the long con, the long game is this is a positive.
Yeah, it's because the reaction to from the players, you know, I think Alejandro Bedoya was very vocal about, like, you know, being away from family and you know, the things he was not happy with the deal. And I really what happens is that as soon as players start publicly shitting on the idea, then other players are like, I don't want to do this. And then everyone's like, oh, bro, this is the idea we had. Is this
we're
not
still? We're still kind of like, it's hard for me to hear that when I'm still negotiating. You know what I mean?
So a lot of drama. But again, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? When it comes to and if MLS is the first sport back, let's go.
Hey, then we lit. Christian, I'm sure you saw this because this was huge. In fact, you did a really funny tweet. I'd love to say I did it, but it wasn't me. FC Cincinnati, I mean, the wins just keep piling up for this club. And by the way, actually, after the next break, we'll have a former FC Cincinnati player on, so I can't be too rough. But they announced their new coach. Kind of. Okay.
Yes. They got his name right, which is pretty good.
You know what? That's one step at a time, my guys. You know?
Okay.
But the problem is they put the wrong bald white man on the picture.
Yeah, they got the wrong photo of the new head coach of FC Cincinnati, Jaap Stam.
Jaap Stam. Yes, obviously how you pronounce it.
Played for Manchester United, a Dutch legend, right?
Yeah.
Big announcement, but they post the wrong photo, which is almost unheard of.
I'll give you some credit. It's not that different of a looking dude.
So, I mean, look, I have to read the name of the guy he's another coach, I think, in Holland, Tinus van Tunenbroek.
You could have made that up. I wouldn't have. I did not look this up. You could have made that up right now, and I would not have no clue.
Look, you see them side by side. Yes, of course, they look very, very similarly. But when it comes to the announcement of the head coach,
this is the big one.
This is the big one. This is the big. This is the first. You know when they say first impression, you never get another chance at a first impression. Yeah. This is that.
Yeah. No, this is it. In fact, The worst part is like, clearly this wasn't like the owner of FC Cincinnati who did this. This was a social media admin, you know, someone hired to do this.
I'm sure there was a team. Somebody found the photo. Somebody was, okay, which photo do we use?
I bet you Yapstam's lady or significant other saw that and was like, I didn't even know that wasn't you. I thought that was you the whole damn time.
Oh, honey, you look good in that tie. You know?
Yeah. Oh, is that my homie Tinius Van Brokenstoke? Whatever my man's name is.
Sounds like a castle. All right, all right, we'll be back with Victor Yoa of Inter Miami right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show so far. We just want to give you a word from, this isn't really a sponsor, but this is a great place to donate, I think, in light of everything that's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of people have just kind of wondered what they can do to help and how to support with either the protests or talking about police reform or just getting more informed or anything like that. There's a bunch of people doing great work, kind of compiling all that information. And one of them that was really, really great was a link. It's called blacklivesmatters.card.co.
With two R's in card.
Correct. And again, Black Lives Matters. .card with two R's .co. And if you go to our Twitter page, just at Soccer Cooligans, it's our pinned tweet. You can click on it. You can see.
It's a big resource. It tells you like a lot of different places you can sign petitions, how to text to who and how to text or call, where to donate, even more resources.
Exactly. And even information for if you're a protester, what to bring with you, what best practices, how to stay safe. There's a lot of information there. That I found super useful. There's also another link. If you just look at that thread, there's a link called secure.actblue.com, which is if you want to donate. Some people don't know who to donate to. There's a lot of there's just a lot of places that you can help support, and it could be overwhelming or confusing.
Or you don't know how much to give who. You know,
you don't even know if it's real, right? That's been another like concern. But this is another. A great opportunity if you do want to donate. Like you can donate to, you basically make one donation and it splits it amongst about like 10 different groups. Like,
so I'll read them. It's Black Lives Matter Global Network, Reclaim the Block, National Bailout, Black Visions Collective, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, the National Police Accountability Project, Color of Change Education Fund, Unicorn Riot, Campaign Zero, Advancement Project, and the Marshall Project. So one donation to act to secure .actblue.com/donate/AB_MN, which again you could just click on it if you go to our social media, but one if you go to our Twitter, I should say, if you one donation will split that up amongst all of those different groups, so you'll be able to support the entire lot in one chunk, which is absolutely amazing.
Exactly. So yeah, please do that. If I know a lot of people are not in a place to be able to donate, but this is why looking at that resource from you know the card.co link, there's other things that you can do, and it's not, if you don't have money at the moment, there's other ways you can help. So I encourage everybody to check that out. And yeah, all we can say is thank you for listening to the show, for supporting, for protesting, for fighting for what is right and trying to initiate real change in the world. So we appreciate you. With that said, let's get back to the show.
All right, baby, we're back. And finally, our guest is here. This is amazing. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, another reason to be excited. And obviously, this is our first Inter Miami player. So
I can't wait to hear, we're rocking the
pink.
Yeah, we're kind of wearing pink, right? I mean, I got a flamingo. It's not a heron or whatever. Heron. I don't know what they call it. I'm not big on birds. You know what I mean? But what I am happy about is this player. I mean, grew up just outside of Dallas, right? Mexican-American, finally gets to see what Cubans are like hanging out in Miami. How much more annoying is it when Latinos talk with their hands? These are my peoples. Let's talk to the one and only, you guys know him, first homegrown from FC Dallas, ladies and gentlemen, Inter Miami star, the one and only, put your hands together unless you're driving, for Victor Ulloa.
Victor, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? Finally, it's good to be here. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but I'm here now.
It's all good.
No problem.
I actually went to school for computer science, so I'm built for the IT support. So it's all good.
Yeah, dude, he gets happy whenever whenever a computer fails or somebody pulls out Dungeons and Dragons, Christian just gets so happy.
You know? I'm like, oh, somebody needs me. This is good.
Did someone say
Geek
Squad?
I ran out of laptop, dude. I only had two.
I know, but we figured it out, dude. We figured it out. So you moved from FC Cincinnati to Miami. When that decision... what happened? Beckham called, right? Did Beckham pick you up in the helicopter? How did that work?
No, I mean, it was obviously we had a tough go in Cincinnati last year, and it was a difficult year for the team and for me personally, because we lost so much, and nobody likes losing that much. But at the end of the year, we had to make a decision, whether both on my side and on the club. And unfortunately, the club decided to go different ways, and I spoke to my agent, and he found me a great opportunity, you know, talk to Beckham, and he said, hey, come on, let's do it. So it was exciting for me and my family, for sure. We've loved it here so far.
Yeah, was he like, oh yeah, you want a cafecito? You want to put down that horchata? Guantanamera!
Okay. All right, as you can tell, Victor, Alexis is Cuban. I don't know if you noticed that yet.
Very much so.
It's hard to miss.
For more reasons than one. Anyway. it must be a little bit, it must be weird as a player when you have a tough year on a team, and then the team is like, look, yo, I don't think this is really going to work out between us. And you're like, oh, okay, wow, this is...
oh, so you think it's me?
It must be interesting. I'm glad, look, whenever, you know, obviously going to Cincinnati and going to, an expansion team and being, you know, them being in MLS is like, the newness is exciting. But then go right to Miami and then you do it all over again, right? So it must be interesting. What's been that, you know, from coming from FC Dallas, being a homegrown and in that system where you were familiar with it, you were in it for a long time. There was a culture, there was a tradition, and then going from expansion team to expansion team. And what's been kind of the biggest surprise to you in that difference between those three clubs?
I think the toughest thing for me last year was that it was my first time away from home. I grew up in Dallas and I've been there my whole life, and to leave Dallas, and I just had a newborn baby. I mean, he was 1 month old when I had to leave and bring my family over. It was just a different experience. I think it helped me and my wife grow up more, and especially since we were parents now, and just adapting to that new lifestyle was a little bit difficult and then getting used to, and I'm not using it as an excuse, of course, but it was our first taste being away from home and our first experience. And I think coming to Miami now back to back, like you guys mentioned, is just we are more experienced with the move. We know what was going on. We knew we didn't get that many surprises, and we were ready to take this challenge on. And I think the move to Miami was better in all those senses. Getting away from home, we were okay being away from our family now. We kind of got used to it last year. And just those experiences really that I had in Cincinnati helped me and get through this time here in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a tough challenge, right? You grew up your entire life in a city like Dallas. Your girl is from Dallas as well, from the area, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you have a kid and then someone calls you and says, we have to move you to Cincinnati. You're like, what did I do? You know, Cincinnati is a tough because it's cold weather. It's just a very different city. It's not nearby. If it was like Houston or something where you're like, all right, that's a quick plane ride. Maybe it's a little different, but it's got to be tough. Is it made it a little easier? Are you able to see your family? Obviously outside of the current pandemic, but are you able to see your family a little more now that you're just a little bit closer being Miami to Dallas?
Yeah, no, Cincinnati for sure was the weather was crazy. When I got there, there's snow 12 inches, 13 inches. I'd never seen that much snow. It was so cold.
You were like, what do we do? Get back on the plane? What do we do? Do we come back in the summer? How does this work?
My gosh, it was crazy. But I mean, it was a cool experience, to be honest. And the city really embraced us, and me and my family welcomed us, and the people and the fans were amazing. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the matches and the home opener, especially that we had. I'll never forget that. The people over there really have a passion and a love for soccer, and it was cool to see, because to be honest, I didn't know where Cincinnati was before I went there and before I knew about the team. So being there and learning a little bit about the culture there and different, and I've been in Texas all my life, it was a complete change. Yeah. And now here in Miami is a little bit more I guess it feels more like a little bit more home. You see more Latinos, you see more of the Hispanic culture, and you see a lot of Cubanos. I didn't know there was that many Cubanos over here.
Oh, hell yeah, baby. We don't have a lot of cities, but we go
everywhere.
Cafecito everywhere, a little pan cubano. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I'm curious about the food. Obviously, you know, there's no comparison between Miami and Cincinnati, but like, is it, do you have at least the familiar food and options in Miami that feel like similar to Texas? Or, you know, Latinos can be really competitive with food. Right? So I know you're probably seeing a lot more options.
Christian's just trying to say that Cuban food is better than Mexican food. He's trying not to say it.
Everybody knows Dominican food is the best food, but whatever.
We'll have this argument.
That would be a good poll right there. Mexican, Dominican, or Cuban.
Yeah,
I know. Now, we have a lot of more options down here to eat for sure. And everything we've tried has been really, really good. I had never really tried Cuban food, so it's been good to try new food. And it's hard to understand them though, man. The accent is so thick.
You know what it is? It's that it's the voice of angels when we speak. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's hard to hear. You know what I mean?
Finally, Victor. I'm just glad I got somebody on my side this time. Right?
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna send you audio of him and his family talking. If you think Cubans are hard to understand, wait till Dominicans show up. You know what it is? It's funny. It's like I have difficulty hearing Mexicans speak when they're speaking to each other because the cadence changes. Yeah, it's very sing-songy. You know what I mean? Cubans, everything we say is yelling. You know what I mean? So it's easier to understand. You know, it's, I think the whole island is deaf. I'm like, Ma, I'm right next to you, Ma. Gonya, why are you yelling?
It's interesting to see all the different type of languages. And even though Spanish is, I mean, pretty much the same, it's different to hear it in different accents and different tongues. And it's hard to understand. Even like Cubans are hard to understand. Argentinians have a different accent, Venezolanos. And it's interesting. It's interesting. You hear all of that here down in Miami.
Yeah. I'm sure like Maxi Uhuti must have been Ujoa. I'm like, bro, what? That's not my name. You know?
Did you throw a couple Z's in there?
Victor, I wanted to talk about this was an Instagram photo that you posted a couple, you know, last year, essentially. I think you know what I'm going to be talking about, but the photo of you had an injury that up to your head, you got stepped on by during the Hell Is Real Derby playing against Columbus.
Appropriately named for you.
Obviously, when I saw it happen, I'm like, I was scared. I'm watching this game and I'm like, yo, this dude, okay. And I'm glad you were able to laugh about it. And also, obviously, I'm glad that you're okay. But the fact that you were able to joke about it now, what the hell happened? Because that's obviously terrifying.
And David, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, yeah, David Ockham stepped on your head. Wearing soccer cleats. No,
man, it was crazy. I had never had an injury like that, but it was a really, really good and fun game. It was really intense. And I remember we went up and they came back and tied it. And it was the last minutes of the game. And it was a counterattack. We had a corner, actually, or a set piece, a free kick. And we send it in. The ball comes out. And obviously, I see Ockham and that guy is fast. So I'm dead, 93rd minute. And I'm like, oh, no, I have to foul this dude. So I try to hold on to him. He freaking beats me up. Could be like a trade. And then the rest of it is a little bit blurry, to be honest. I fell down and then I just felt something hitting my face. And then watching the video back, I was like, man, because my teammate also hung on to him. So we were just trying to stop him at all costs. And unfortunately, I had to take a wound to my eye. It was pretty dangerous, to be honest. After the matter of fact, I had to get some stitches after the game. But I was just glad that I was okay. And it was fun to make a joke out of it later. And I talked to him and he apologized, but I mean, it wasn't his fault. I know he didn't intend to do that. If anything, it was my fault for the way that I approached the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the photo is like startling because you look like you're taking a light, relaxing nap on the floor and there's literally a player's boot. Thank God Ockham doesn't weigh 50 pounds more or there would have been an indentation of your head in the ground. Like,
this guy was wearing metal plates too.
Dude, I mean, yeah, I think that there was a photo of the injury itself and obviously it's terrible, but there's something weirdly, the photo is like the fact that they captured that moment. I don't know who exactly the photographer was, yeah. But the fact the fact that they captured that exact moment of you, like it happened, you're looking at the bottom of the boot and it's
yeah, it looks like you're processing what's literally about to happen.
It's like weirdly like dangerous and like artistic and like, yeah. Like
it's like insane. A picture of someone waving as a bus is just about to hit them. You know what I mean? It's like freaking me out. You're so relaxed.
Honestly, what a picture. When they sent it to me, I was like, wow. I was stunned like you guys. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait. I have to make a joke out of it.
You have to get that blown up in your house so when your kid's old enough, they can be like, what happened?
Just insane. Yeah, dude. It generally incredible. I had another quote. We had a question from a Gully Squad, which are like our more dedicated fans. And we had a bunch of FC Dallas fans who miss you and had a lot of questions. But this came from William Higgins. He asked, from the perspective of one FC Dallas homegrown, were you the first homegrown or second? Do you remember?
There was one guy, Brian Leyba. He signed first.
Okay.
And then it was four of us that signed together.
At
the same time.
But he asked, how has the development of young talent changed in MLS? And we know, you know, we've spoken to a bunch of people. Obviously, Fafa Picot was just on, who's now at FC Dallas. But clearly, the FC Dallas homegrown system, and from someone who went through it, how do you feel like it helped develop you as a player and as a person?
No, it was huge. I mean, I remember when the program was first introduced in Dallas, it was all over the news. FC Dallas was promoting the tryouts and encouraging all the players. They wanted the best of the best. And I remember it was my first time I had to decide to leave my old team, but they've been huge for me. I mean, my development was amazing. I was playing against the best guys in the country. I was competing against the best around the world is also. And I had the best players in North Texas and maybe in the whole of US on my team. I remember those first 2 years, we were really good. We really built a culture and an identity, and the coaching and the coach then was Oscar Pareja, and he really helped us as a group develop and keep growing. He challenged us all the time and especially worked on our mindset and instilled in us to compete, to find a way. That was his slogan, Busca la forma, find a way. And we really took that into our heart, our minds, and went with it. And it helped us individually. It helped us as a team. And I mean, the development has come so big in the U.S. From when I started. I remember I trained three times a week. Now guys are training every single day, and they have partnerships with school districts. They have they're training by the pro team in the mornings. I mean, it's really stepping up in a good direction. And even now, you heard that the MLS just implemented a new youth program that's going to have a lot of teams in them, and it's unbelievable. The development keeps growing, and it's good because I grew up through that process, and I'm a proud homegrown, and I hope to see many, many more guys come up through the system and be successful in MLS and even abroad, overseas and in Mexico and wherever their career takes them.
You actually, yeah. One of the things that FC Dallas is known for is, or at least I think it was Clievo, I can't remember his name. He wanted the academy kids to play.
Clavijo.
He wanted the academy kids to play against the first team. And you're sort of from that first generation that did that. Does that, what is that for those of us who didn't play? And look at me, I'm a fat guy. Obviously, I didn't play, right? I sweat playing FIFA. I'm not even going to try to get out there. But playing against pros at an early level, at an early age, how does that change your mentality? How does that actually make you better? What is it about it that makes your development advance?
I think it just bridges that gap of difference. Going from the academy to the first team is a big jump, and especially you don't realize the speed of play is completely different. I remember when I was 18 signing onto the first team, I was like, man, I'm going to get on here and I'm going to kill it. I'm going to ball out. And that was my mentality. But the reality hit once I started training with these guys, and it was unbelievable to see the speed of play that these guys play with. And I think that's the big bridge that we have to find a way to gap now. And what better way than to, like I mentioned, I mean, I remember when I was in FC Dallas, we had academy guys training with us every single day. And maybe bring them some younger guys over and giving them a little taste of what it's like, and competing against the professionals is really big for a young guy that believes and that dreams of being on the first team. It helps them in that. I think the speed of play is the biggest factor once you make that jump from academy to
Yeah.
To the first team.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, just the, you know, you were talking about MLS changing, kind of having this new system in place. And it's interesting seeing, like, where you came from and where we are now. That success story, because there's a lot of people that aren't really happy with how youth soccer is run in the country, but there's clearly success stories. And I don't know what my exact even question is. It's just more like I'm glad that it worked out and that there's stories like this. But is there something that you would say, like, yo, this could be a little bit better from my growth, even though I made it through? Is there something that you would change about how, you know, at the youth levels that will help others in the future?
I mean, every time I see I relate back to the Dallas boys, because I'm familiar with them and I know the coaches. And I mean, every step I've seen from when I started playing in the academy and training three times a week in the afternoon after school. And now they have where they have an agreement with the school that it counts as a class credit or as a PE credit, and being able to train with the guys every day, having athletic trainers there. I mean, it's becoming more and more professional, and it's becoming more and more where it's replicating what the first team does. And I think that's huge. I mean, if I had one thing to say, is that we should have had that program sooner.
Okay.
We should have been able to train besides the pros every day. It just makes me feel like I would be that much better. You know, like I would have had a more opportunity to grow and to develop and to have even a better career than what I've had. And I mean, it's hard to say because there's a lot of what ifs, but I'm just happy that, you know, me growing up, my parents weren't really able to provide much for me in terms of traveling and all that. Yeah. It's expensive. And Dallas really stepped up. And I mean, they came out on the news and said, hey, if you make our team, you know, we're going to cover that. And it's not just the wealthy people playing. And, you know, it gave the opportunity to the best players in our city, in our region. And I really felt that. And I was an example of that, you know. And I'm really grateful and thankful that I made that move and I made the team and that they wanted me. And everything has gone great for me since then.
There's so many things popping up on the news. Now, we're recording this actually a week before this airs. So maybe this changes in a week. But there's a lot more whispers. There's rumors, a lot of talks about the league potentially starting back up. Obviously, a lot of players are starting to train in a lot of individual or small groups. One, is this the longest gap you've gone without playing soccer since you've signed professionally? And two, what are your thoughts about starting back up? Are you excited? Are you nervous? What are you thinking about?
No, I mean, I first of all, yeah, this is the longest that we've gone without playing games, and especially during the season. Nobody expected this to happen, but we're just trying to get through it. Like you said, we're training individually for the past 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks now, and it's been hard, man. We're trying to get back in shape, and I think we are in shape. We might be the fittest team in the league now, the way they're having us run. But now the players are excited. We all obviously want to get back to the field and playing as soon as we can, and I think the league and then the clubs are working through with the players to try and make it just the best case scenario so that we can get back to playing in front of fans.
Is it hopefully. Like, is your family, like, are you getting calls from like Diaz, like, oye, mijo, ponte la máscara, you know, like, because family is, you know, like, especially for Latinos, it's a very matriarchal, like, people worry. I get yelled at for going outside of the corner. Like, how does that, is that, have they started, you know, sort of bothering you a little bit about this?
Yeah, no, I think the grandmas are the ones that, man, yeah, they're on because especially because of the baby Luca, they're like, no, don't go to the grocery store. Don't pump gas. I'm like, mom, I need to get gas to go to training.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, no, don't do it, man. They call me every day, literally. They call me every day. And sometimes I call my mom and she's wearing a mask. I'm like, mommy, you're home. I think you'll be okay.
She's like, no, but yo, like, no. I was going to a patio. You know what I mean? You never know. The neighbors are crazy. I don't trust them.
Man. No, that's, it's intense. I mean, there is a concern. I mean, the news came out about or leaked about the possible tournament in Orlando and all this other stuff, and obviously the players are very concerned and have those safety concerns. As a player, do you lean more towards I really want to play so I can, you know, obviously continue to earn a living and move forward and stay in shape and those things, or is it, you know, it's hard to make the decision, your career or your health. I'm not asking that, but like, is how eager are you to get back to playing? And if does this tournament thing, I don't know what you've heard about it necessarily. I don't know, you know, but it, does it seem appealing, like, or reasonable idea?
Yeah, I think the toughest thing with that proposal from the tournament is the time that we will be away from our family. Especially me, I have my baby, you know, I'm with him every single day and I run with him and he drives me crazy, but I love it and I love spending time with him. So I think that's the most difficult thing going around the whole league. If I could think about just players being wanting to be with their families. Sorry, he's crying right now.
Yeah, no, like, hey. He's not a fan of the idea. I can hear him.
Yeah, he's not a fan.
Yeah, Bobby, no te vaya.
And obviously the number one concern is the safety. I mean, if they can make it as safe as possible for us to go there and play. And I mean, you've seen we were just talking about watching the Bundesliga and they're back playing soccer. If we could do it in matters like that, then we would be happy to play. I mean, I'm eager to get back to the field. I'm eager to play. I'd rather do that than the trainings we're doing, to be honest, where we're just running.
Yeah.
We live to play soccer and to compete. And I mean, thinking about it even further, it's a joy that we can give back to people around the world and to people in the U.S. with this time that's going so tough, and give them a little bit of distraction, give them a little joy, hopefully. And I mean, we want to get back to the field for sure.
Yeah, I know. Go for it, Alexis.
Watching the Bundesliga matches, I'm just excited that soccer is back. Something for me to watch. I'm a huge fan. Obviously, we wouldn't have a show if that wasn't the case. But some people have been complaining about the fact that there's no audience, right? There's no crowd. And now they've started pumping in like a fake crowd noise, which I'm okay with. Everyone's complaining about it. I'm like, this is kind of fun. They could be a crowd from another country. I can care less. Just put a crowd in there.
It's a little weird to me.
It's a little weird when there's no one in the stands and you hear people in the stands. But what is that like for you watching that? Does it change how you play if there's no one in the stands?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. The fans, especially the home team, has an advantage with your fan base. And when they go crazy and they cheer you on and they boo for their team, I mean, it's an advantage. It's a 12-man, like they like to say it. It honestly feels like that. I think going back to your comment about the German league, the last week when they started, or 2 weeks ago when they started, I watched the first game and there was no noise and it was weird to get used to, right? And then now this week they're pumping in those noises, and honestly, I'm with you. I like it. I like that it sounds like that, especially for the spectator. You know, as a fan, you'll hear it. And I mean, it's a little weird that there's no fans, but still hearing some background music, hearing the fans, the chants, and I mean, it just feels like a little bit more normality and back to normal, and that's good for the soul. You know, that helps you. That keeps you optimistic,
it is.
Keeps you going.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird psychologically, because I know there's no fans, but I hear it, and it's so. I'll say this. I'll say it's more weird for it to be completely silent than it is to hear fake noise. But I still, exactly. It's a little uncomfortable. So
this is a big chance for clubs that don't get big crowds to be like, yo, like Google crowd noise. It's finally going to be lit in here.
Yeah. I just picture like a dude on a soundboard, like, all right, we got a boo button.
Hopefully he doesn't click the wrong one.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like a bad call, but he hits the goal button. They're like, why is the crowd so excited for a red card? They really hate that player.
I also want to talk about Miami. Let's talk about Inter Miami and the fact that, I mean, we got to meet Jorge Mas and David Beckham at the MLS 25th anniversary, and everybody's obviously focused on Jorge Mas and how much of a hottie he is.
Yeah,
right?
Beckham, could you get out of the way? We want to talk to Jorge.
No, but there seems to be an energy for this club. Obviously, MLS going back to Miami. What have even you as you know, not, you know, being from there, but seeing this new club and the energy for having a team again in Miami in MLS. What has that been like for you getting to witness that?
That's been great. I think when I first came, I came last November when they announced my trade, and a couple of us came down here to get introduced to some fans, and we got to meet Jorge. And I mean, really great guy. And you could tell he was very excited to bring back soccer to South Florida. And I mean, the whole city, that interaction with the fans that night was unbelievable. They threw a party and it was four of us and we didn't have a full team yet, but the happiness and the joy on these guys' faces, and to have soccer here in South Florida, to have a team to cheer on, you could tell and you could see it, how happy they were. And I mean, us as players, all we want to do is, even though, like you mentioned, we're not from here, but that hits us to the heart, you know, we want to make results happen on the field for them, because they've been waiting for so long for this opportunity and to get into the MLS. And now we're in here and they brought us, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I'm blessed that they took a chance on me, and I'm hopeful that I can repay that back with a lot of victories and a lot of joy, especially for the fans of the city.
You know, we see a lot on the news, Rodolfo Pizarro, and then obviously the big signings. You guys did get to play a couple games. I'm curious about your head coach, Diego Alonso, obviously coming from Liga MX, and that, what's been your experience like with him? You know, he's obviously a storied coach a lot of history. What, how's it been like for you getting to play for him?
No, it's been great. I think Diego is a really passionate guy, and he's a South American coach that is very, very intense. But he's a player's coach. You know, the first day we met him, he was clear from day one that he wanted us to instill in our mind that we were going to be winners and we were going to win something and we were going to create something special here in Miami. And I think he really instilled that in everybody, and everybody decided to follow him. And I mean, you see that in the first two games that we had. We're on the field, we're fighting for every single ball, not giving an inch away, and that's the way he is, you know. And he's had success everywhere he's been, and we're hoping that he helps us win something, because we truly believe that we can.
If you wanted to give some of the fans, because I mean, you didn't get to play a lot of games, what do you think is the sense of the style? What is the system in which you guys play?
And it's interesting, because I think we have the ability to change and to move formations, and we have the players, and Diego likes that a lot, to be honest. I've had coaches where they stick to one formation, and that's their ride or die formation. And with him, he adapts. He adapts to the opponents. He adapts to situations during the game that he reads. And I think it's been good for us. The first game, we went a certain formation against LA, and against DC, we went with a different one. And in DC, we played much better. And I'm not saying that's the formation that we have to play, but we felt more comfortable with the ball, and it really didn't affect us to move formations. And I thought that I was impressed with that with the players, but that's because of the work that we put in preseason and the different styles that he tried. And I mean, this guy's a winner, and then you can tell in all aspects.
I'm curious, because I've heard this from some other players, especially players that played abroad or from another country. They'll say that the American style of coaching is usually adapt, you know, you change things up for who you're playing against. And usually the coaches from other countries are like, no, this is how we play. So it's actually very interesting to hear that Diego is that interested in adapting and kind of adapting to what maybe the American player or the American style of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. He has a certain style that he wants to play, and he has a certain way he likes to defend. He has a certain way he likes to attack. But then there's times where he realizes moments of the games where we either need to do this or do that. And yeah, it's interesting to know and to see that he does adapt to certain situations. But I mean, he's a very possession oriented guy, and he wants to score a lot of goals.
Yeah,
and can't go wrong with that, right?
Can't go wrong with
that's
that.
The guy I want as a coach.
As long as you don't let him in the back. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no, I can't imagine a coach trying to pitch himself like, you know what, who cares if we have the ball? And honestly, scoring, we tried it. It's a little boring.
Is there, as far as having David Beckham be an owner of your team, what's been your interaction with David Beckham? And is it weird that this legendary footballer is, you know, essentially your boss? I'm sure that there's a certain fun aspect to it, that when it comes to like events and marketing stuff, what's it like getting to work with David Beckham so closely?
No, it's crazy. Like you said, I mean, I can't believe that I'm playing for his team. And I mean, the first time we met him, he took the team to dinner. That was the first time we were introduced to him and Jorge Mas and his family, and a really cool guy. You know, you talk to him, he talks to you like normal. Wouldn't even know that this guy is an icon for the world and the soccer platform. And it's been really cool to see him at practice. I grew up watching him play. And I mean, who didn't grow up into like Beckham and all that?
Yeah, yeah,
I want to see some of that sometimes in practice. So, but I have to make sure when I'm training, I'm focused and I'm there to do my job and try to not to get distracted by him, his presence there, you know, which is a little hard. But it's been really cool. It's been really cool.
The guy glows 24/7. Of course,
he glows. He just glows.
Yeah, but you could, it must be intimidating. Like you're practicing, you know, free kicks, and he's like, "Oh, okay, that's what you're gonna do."
Yeah, you have it right there.
Yeah. Ah, okay. You're gonna go with that technique, and you're like, "Well, should I do something different?" Most of the time, an owner's just like a fat old guy who's like, soccer, you know? This is the guy who did it, you know?
No, and he's been great, to be honest. He's always positive, always encouraging us and always pushing us. And he's been great to have around. You know, it's interesting to see if he bites his lip sometimes, because you guys make some good points. What if he, you know, we don't know if he's coaching in the inside, but to us, he just always being positive and always trying to be fun. This year and really building that culture that they want to build over here.
Yeah, I just get a picture. I'm like, you know what Sir Alex would have done here is, you know what I mean? Like, you can.
And you're like, well, you know, when I was in this finals in a U tournament, he's like, well, when I was in the Champions League, and you're like, all right, okay,
you win.
All right, guess who's got a point? Old Bex.
No, but you speaking of titles, you did win a title, the U.S. Open Cup with FC Dallas. So you know what it takes to win. I'm curious about that tournament and that trophy. How does it feel to win? I know, especially that year, like you guys were really going for the triple. But being able to get that trophy, how did it make you feel? And then and also not being able to get MLS Cup, like does it make it feel like, well, the season wasn't a complete loss or whatever?
I think in the moment when you're in that situation, you're disappointed when you get knocked out of the MLS Cup. And but looking at it now down the years, it's hard to win silverware. It's hard to be a champion. And that's the ultimate goal for a soccer player, to win championships, to win trophies, and to be in the history books, you know. And FC Dallas hadn't won anything in a very long time. And we were part of that history to bring a trophy home. And unfortunately, we couldn't do the treble that year. But we brought two important trophies to Dallas that needed it, because they hadn't had it in a long time.
Yeah, dude, local boy brings home a trophy. I mean, that's huge.
I mean, you're basically LeBron James of Dallas, bro.
Look at you. And you're in Miami.
You took your talents to South Beach. It's all good. It worked out. All right, we did it again. Another hit, another great episode.
We're so good at this.
with a top tier talent like Victor Ulloa. Thank you so much, Victor, for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Yeah, you did awesome. Is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
No, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and thank you guys for having me. It was really a pleasure. It was really fun, and I enjoyed my time, and I hope everybody stays safe, and I hope that you guys and the players can bring some joy to you guys and on TV, hopefully soon.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, man. So thank you again. Everybody, make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social media. You subscribe to the YouTube channel and follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow Victor, too. He has a great Instagram. You know, one of David.com stepping on his head. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. So with that said, so for Victor Ulloa, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!